Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
All right, guys. Welcome to the Leverage Podcast. We have a special guest on today, Dan Chang. And Tyler first came across Dan, I think it was on a Reddit post. Does that sound right to you, Dan?
And Oh, really? Yeah, okay, yeah. I post a lot of Reddit, actually.
No, sorry. I misspoke. Quora, but...
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was a Quora post. And he sent me the article about your five-minute exercise that will make you better in conversations. I love that article. The kind of talking out loud one. We'll go through that. I'll ask you more about that. But I can totally relate so much to... you know, to your content. I love how it's like you're speaking my mind directly to me. And I know other guys have had that similar, you know, sort of experience when they've gone through your stuff.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. That's amazing to hear, because yeah, like I'm like a naturally shy, analytical dude. And so when I started writing stuff and started my website, that was exactly my goal, to just basically like take everything that I've experienced and learned and just like really boil it down into the stuff, like the real stuff that actually works, the stuff that not just that weird mindset stuff that you learn, but like practical stuff that you can take action on, and stuff that's actually backed by research. Because I have a medical background, so I'm very, very big on like randomized controlled trials and, you know, research and placebo and all this stuff. So, yeah, so I think, you know, we have to take that same approach with, like, with our social skills, right? With the test, we have the AB split test and all that, right? So, yeah, it's, I'm glad that my style connected with you and with some of your readers.
Yeah, and I love that you take that scientific approach. We do the same thing. You know, yours is shyness, our field is dating dynamics. And kind of becoming a man that women desire. Mm. So give us a little bit more of your background. Like, how'd you get into this? I know you said you were shy. Tell us more about you and how you kind of started this business.
Sure, I'd have to. So, yeah, like I said, I'm a naturally shy guy. I'm just, like, not very talkative. And when I was a kid, I just was really, really passive, very quiet. And, you know, it was fine, right? Like, I didn't really care that much about it. I would just sit in the back of the classroom and just like not really participate. And it was fine, because I was like, I didn't really care, because I got A's on everything and I was just a smart kid. But then I really felt the pain when I started to get a little bit older through puberty. And then especially when I started working, I realized that if I can't talk to people, there's no way that I can, you know, like connect and make friends and do big things in life, you know, in everything that we do, like the relationships that we build are really what I found to be the most important thing. Even at job, right? It's not really about your performance, but it's about the way that you work with other people. So, so for me, it was about 10 years ago that I finally decided to take this stuff seriously. And, I think it was like probably the moment that stands out for me the most was, when I was at a meeting. This was my first job. Back in like 2007, and I sat in this meeting, and there was like 15 people maybe in the room, and I just sat there the entire time. I was trying so hard to think of something to say, but I couldn't think of anything. And then I went through that whole meeting like 2 hours not saying anything. And then afterwards, the client actually approached my boss, and I got in trouble, because they were like, why is this guy here? He didn't even say anything.
So why is he sitting in the meeting? What, is he a spy?
Yeah, right. So I was like, all right, I gotta figure out how to do this. I gotta learn how to talk to people.
Gotcha. It's funny, because I had a similar sort of stage in my life where I was pretty shy. I was dreadfully shy until like middle school, and then I became less shy, and then I was really shy again in high school when I went to a new school.
Mm.
But then I just got, I don't know, I guess I'm too horny of a guy, because I got fed up and I just like forced myself to start talking to girls more. And that's kind of how I got over it. But a lot of when I was going through your site and looking at some of your techniques to overcome shyness and just, you know, help you get out of your head, I felt like, wow, if I would have had those back in the day, it really would have expedited the process. So I was, I'd love for you to share like your favorite ones of those. And we can talk about that a little, and you know, because those are great.
Yeah, sure. So the stuff about getting out of your head.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's a huge problem for a lot of guys. You know, tons of guys who come to me, they always have the same complaint is, you know, I see a girl I like, but I don't know what to say. Or I'm in a conversation with a girl and I run out of things to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is a perfect solution to that.
Yeah, that's huge, man. And I got to say, I mean, I was a horny teenager too. And, you know, I really wish that I approached it differently when I was younger because, I was stuck in my head a lot. And the approach I took when I was young was like, I would just like not talk to them and like hope that they would approach me. So my game when I was younger was like, let the girls approach me. I'm the cool guy, right? And it didn't really work very well. Right? And after high school, I found out that a bunch of girls actually were interested in me, and I just never talked to them, right? So it's like,
dude, I had the same feeling. It sucks so bad. Yeah, you find out like 2 years later, you know, that Miranda had a crush on you. You're like, oh my god, I had such a crush on her, and I didn't do anything, and then you just live with that regret. It's so brutal.
Yeah, like you think you're being so slick,
right?
Being like a cool guy, right? Like kicking back, relaxing, but meanwhile, it's like you're just scared, really, underneath it all. You're just afraid of rejection.
Yeah, totally.
That's what it is.
And I got some terrible advice when I was in seventh grade, and you know, I tried to get this girl to be my girlfriend. That didn't happen, and I got some advice from a guy who was like a teacher's aide, but like a young, cool guy. Everyone kind of like looked up to him. And he was like, yeah, man, like you don't need to talk to girls. Like just let them come talk to you. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. That makes sense. That way you don't get rejected. That way I don't have to feel like this anymore. But when I look back, you know, it didn't hurt that he was like 6'3", charismatic, funny, good looking. And sure, if you have all that going on, they won't come to you. But that wasn't the case for me.
Yeah, it doesn't really work for the rest of us, right?
Right.
Yeah. So back to your original question about how to get out of your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, I think, like you said, that's a huge, huge thing for a lot of shy people and a lot of guys, right, where we just spin our wheels internally, and then it just doesn't really manifest externally, right? And so I think probably the number one mistake in conversations and in dating is too much self-focus, right? And when we focus on ourselves too much, what it does is and there's studies about this too, it actually increases our ability to retrieve negative thoughts. Like, so what we do is when we just dwell up on ourselves, it like access to negative thinking is more easily attached to events that happen. It's like, it's really interesting. Yeah. So what we need to do to fix that is we need to shift the focus off of ourselves and get out of our heads and into the present moment, right? So basically, do you want me to get into the details for this? Or
Yeah, please do.
So basically, there's three steps that I recommend for helping people to get over that self-focus. And so the first thing is to don't fight the feelings that you have. Right. So that initial nervousness that you start to feel, like the sweating, the butterflies, the trembliness, it's easy to just focus on that and be like, crap, like I need to stop feeling this way. I need to like get a hold of myself. But the thing is, when you focus on it and you try to fight it, it actually makes it worse. Right. So instead of fighting those feelings, we need to just like basically embrace them and think about them a little bit differently, right? So those physical things that you're feeling, if you just reframe it as excitement, it's been found that like basically people that experience nervousness at like a presentation, stage fright, and people that don't, they have the same exact physical symptoms, right? They both get like dilation of the blood vessels, increased heart rate. And it's like their bodies are doing the same thing. It's just that one of them is interpreting it as nervousness and the other person is interpreting it as excitement. So with that, right, when step one is when you get those feelings, don't dwell upon it, don't try to fight it, just embrace it as a part of the experience, right? And then step number two is to stop comparing yourself, right? So once you get into that situation, a big temptation is to start thinking, oh, shoot, this girl's so hot. Or this guy is like, you know, he's so, or like, you know, you talk to a CEO, he's like, oh my gosh, what's he think about me? Do I look stupid? Right. So there's that, like, the I guess, like, value ladder or whatever that you kind of put yourself on. But what that does is it increases a lot of that nervousness, increases that self-focus. It's just a terrible cycle. And so we need to, step number two, stop comparing ourselves. And what that does for you and what that did for me was it takes you from being shy to not so shy, because you're like, you realize that, you know, like, where there's this like common ground that everyone has. And, you know, when you start to like, just kind of like equalize everyone, you start to not be as shy anymore. And then step number three is basically you know, the final step, which is to focus on others. Right. And so this will take you from being not so shy to being confident. Right. I really think that the key to confidence is not building up your own self-esteem. It's not about like what you do or what you look like or anything like that. It's about being able to focus on other people and think about something that's bigger than yourself. That's where real confidence comes from. So,
yeah, I like that. It's similar to something that, you know, and I agree completely. If you can kind of take yourself out of the equation, to a sense, you know, like if you're talking to a girl, and you can just totally be present and listen to her and just remove any of that nonsense in your head. Like, what should I be doing with my hands? Or, you know, what should I be asking next? Right. If you can just really just focus on her words and listen.
Yeah.
Like the other person has an experience that they probably don't have very often, because most people aren't really listening. They're in their own heads thinking about something in the future or dwelling on the past. And and people don't get that experience a whole lot to really be listened to. So giving someone that gift is like amazing. And when you do that to a woman, or like you said, to a CEO or someone who's probably used to other people being like blubbering idiots in their presence, that makes a big impression.
For sure. Yeah. And it's funny when I work with a lot of my clients, and probably the number one problem that I hear, which you also mentioned before, is I don't know what to say. Right. Like my mind is just blank and it's just like, I think really hard and I try to like come up with something, but it's just like the harder I try, the more blank my mind is. And the key to really fix that is like what you're saying is to just listen. Right. And if you really, really listen, your mind is going to come up with stuff to say. It's like really interesting how that works. It's like counterintuitive.
So one of the things I read on your site, which I really liked, I liked the analogy of the coffee filter. Can you explain that to us and then explain that exercise where you kind of do that stream of consciousness?
So yeah, so basically, as like we're talking about, there's this like mental block that happens when we're talking to people. And the way I describe it is filters, right? So when we're in a specific situation, we have all these filters that come in between our brain and in between our brain and our mouth, right? So we have all of these thoughts brewing in there, kind of like coffee, right? And then, the grounds and the water stuff, they pass through the filter to make the coffee, right? Which represents, I guess, our words, right? But what happens with most people is we have so many filters built in that we end up like not letting any of those thoughts through, right? So we have like filters when we're in specific situations, like we're at work, or like, oh, that's not appropriate to say, or if we're around very attractive people, or we're in a group. There's all these filters, and all of a sudden, when we like have too many filters, our thoughts don't get passed through to our mouths, and we don't say anything, right? So the exercise is what I call stream of consciousness, and basically what it is you sit down in a place where you're completely alone. Like when you're if you're inside, you can go to your car, close the door, go to a room where nobody hears you. And it's going to feel really weird, but basically all you do is just let your mouth say every single thing that you're thinking, or like everything. You don't filter anything. And so you'd be sitting there, like anything you see, anything that comes to your mind, you just verbalize 100% of it. And what this is doing is this is practicing your ability to remove your filter. Right. And so even though you're alone, it still feels pretty awkward because we're not used to it. We're used to processing everything in our heads first and then saying it. But
the thing is, we tend to do that too much, right? So then this exercise helps us to loosen that filter. And then from there, the next thing you want to do is start recording yourself, right? So this is going to be kind of like a transition between being alone and being with someone else, because it's going to like feel like someone is listening to you, because there's that recorder that's yeah. like recording you. And just it's so funny how that works, because you're still alone, but all of a sudden you feel really self-conscious.
Oh, totally.
Right? And then so
one thing I hate doing is videotaping myself.
Right.
It's even harder than just talking to someone, because it's like, oh my God, you got to get it right, because then you're going to have to edit it. Yeah.
And watching it back, right? That's the worst thing.
Totally.
Oh my gosh, right? And actually watching it back and listening back is really good experience as well, because you can listen to what you actually sound like, right? Like some of my clients, they've said, oh my gosh, like the way I sound is completely different than the way that I thought I sounded. And so that's also like a huge learning experience for people.
Yeah.
So then you practice talking out loud, practice recording yourself, listening to it back. And basically what this does is this gets you to exercise the ability to remove your filter, and then also trust the sound of your own voice, right? You need to be able to hear yourself talk and like be okay with that, right? And what this does over time is when you're with people, you actually will find it easier to speak up. And in some situations, it might even be like hard for you not to speak up, because you're like getting yourself used to the process of verbalizing what you're thinking.
Yeah, so you kind of switch to the opposite, where you can't get yourself to shut up.
Yeah.
So it's funny. So, you know, I've definitely gone through, well, I haven't done this exercise. I'm going to do it because I think it's great. I was just reading it earlier today. I was like, ooh, I'm going to do that.
Cool.
But I have a similar experience when I'm drunk.
Tell me more.
And I think it's pretty common, right? And I think that's one of the big reasons why people use alcohol, because it just kind of gets their mind to shut off. And I know when I'm drunk, like my filter just goes away, and I think everything I'm saying is really funny and really witty and really on point. But then, you know, when I go back and think about the next day, a lot of the time it's not, because you're drunk, right? So what I really liked about this exercise, just for my own personal use, is I feel like you can kind of, you know, you can get the same benefits without destroying your body or your liver. So there you go.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's funny, right? Because when we are drunk, it's like, it's the things we are saying aren't necessarily even that funny, but they are funny at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like you care less. You're not as worried about it. You know, your delivery is probably a little bit more smooth, just because there's less anxiety. You know, we can feel emotions. And, you know, I heard one time a quote that emotions are contagious. So regardless of what I'm saying, if I'm running a lot of anxiety and nervousness in the background, you're going to feel that, even if the words I'm saying are whatever, right? You're just going to feel that energy. And if you don't feel like that, then hey, then people don't feel that. And that's going to obviously improve your connection. I don't
For
know
sure.
if there's any, maybe there's some sort of a, you know, scientific study to that. I haven't quite found that yet, but I don't know if you've come across anything along those lines.
the transitive effects of emotions.
Yeah, I don't know.
There probably is.
Be interesting to definitely recommend everyone on this call to do that exercise. And I think it'll make people a little bit uncomfortable too, which is perfect. Anytime you're uncomfortable, you just know you're growing. At least that's how I feel.
For sure. Yeah. There's that quote, right? I forget from who. I think it's like a really famous, overused quote, but I really like it. Eleanor Roosevelt or something, like, do one thing a day that makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, and I subscribed to that back in the day. Right? Every day I would do something where, and it was amazing. Right? I did that for like a year, and it was a really, really good growth time.
So let me take some questions. There are some really good questions posted in the group that I wanted to make sure we touch on. The first one is from Ara, and he says, sometimes near the start or up to about 3 to 4 exchanges into a conversation, usually with a stranger girl. Sometimes she's working, where I'm just chatting plainly, they just start ignoring me. What are some better ways to respond to these situations? And then he says, previously, I've just waited for a moment. Then when it becomes really obvious they are ignoring, I've either just left or said something like, so you don't feel like talking, huh? Which is awkward. And leave.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. That's, you got to love that honesty though, right? I mean,
yeah.
Talk about no filter. That's great. Okay. That's a really good question, right? So what happens if you're talking to someone and you go back and forth a few times, but then they basically start ignoring you?
Mm-hmm. You just kind of feel it, like, you know, you kind of feel the energy just kind of withering away, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I got so many thoughts right now. This might be a little bit disorganized, so just stay with me, all right? So the first thing is that the thing that we need to understand is that conversations are two ways, right? And so there's a tendency when we talk to new people and the topic is very superficial that we tend to blame any negative outcomes on ourselves. So this is psychological. This is a psych study that I read as well. So when things go badly, we tend to think, oh, dude, it was my fault. But actually, conversations are a two-way street. And so it needs to go both ways. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, you might as well just walk away if she's not engaging, right? So that's one thing we need to come and understand, right? Like, don't just always automatically blame yourself for everything, right? And then the second thing, the big thing, I think, and this is what we were talking about earlier, is that we really, really need to start focusing on the other person rather than focusing on ourselves, right? So in this situation, it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of focus on how the other person is responding to you. And it's kind of like this, it kind of sounds to me like approval seeking,
yeah. Right?
And instead of focusing on how they're responding to you, we need to shift that focus and shift it to their perspective, right? So in this case, he mentioned something like she was working maybe or something. So, that might actually be a big reason why she's ignoring you, because if she's working, she probably can't talk to you, right? Like that's
right.
We need to consider that, right? So with that, what happens when you shift into their perspective is that you really understand maybe they're ignoring you for a good reason or whatever. So instead of thinking, wait, why are they treating me this way? You need to think, wait, how is this person doing? What's going on in their world? And ultimately, how can I make this person stay better? Right. And that's a really, really good mindset to have that creates this curiosity around people and really helps like keep that conversation, like ignite that conversation.
Right. All right. Cool. I got another one here from Joel.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You said in one of your videos that not comparing has a bigger impact on your social skills and self-esteem. How did you slow down and stop comparing yourself to others?
Okay. Yeah. So that was a really interesting finding that I learned, right? That comparing has a stronger impact on our social skills than self-esteem. Because in today's day and age, we hear a lot about self-esteem, right? Like you got to like build it and you got to be confident and all that. But, I think a lot of times that's, like not very productive. Yeah, great question. So how do we actually stop comparing? And what I do is basically I teach something called equalizing. So this is basically teaching your brain to bounce the other way without focusing on yourself, right? Because as we've said, self-focus is really, really bad. So when you see someone, right, there's something called upward and downward comparison. So let's say you see someone and you upward compare and you're like, oh my gosh, he's so rich and good looking, right? That's called upward comparison.
Like putting them on a pedestal, right? Upward comparing.
Yeah. When you're putting yourself lower than them, right? And yeah. They're higher than you. You're just going to automatically in your mind, just make up something about them that lowers their value in your mind. Right. Just like it doesn't even matter if it's true or not. You just like just make it up. Right. So there's a guy, he's really rich and powerful. So then you just make up something. You're like, all right, well, he's probably really lonely and selfish.
Okay.
And then And then what that does is just like it equalizes that person in your mind. It's like really weird how it works. And then sometimes you actually start to downward compare, right? And you start to go the opposite way. And when you do that, you just make up something in your mind where it raises their value, right? So like, let's say, for example, you see like, I don't know, a janitor who's really like, I don't know, like a fat janitor, right? You're like, oh dude, that guy's a fat janitor. I'm so much better than him, right? And then you just make up something on the opposite where you say, you know what? He's probably a great father. He's probably very generous. And then you just like, you equalize people in your mind, right? And what this does, like if you just keep doing it over and over, you just train your brain to just like bounce the other way until you're just like neutral in your thoughts. And you're doing all of this without any focus on yourself and how you compare to these people.
I like that. That's really good. I don't know if you've ever seen the Seinfeld episode. I think George Costanza does something like that. One of the episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's,
oh, really? Oh, shit.
He's in like a room full of models and he tells himself to just focus on the fact that they have like ugly toes or I don't know if that's exactly it. Or I think he like broke up with one of his girlfriends who was like a model because she had like, you know, a mole on the bottom of her hand. Just, like, some ridiculous thing, but stood out to me.
Yeah, it is kind of ridiculous. And I'm going to have to look up that Seinfeld episode, but it really works. Like just like learning to like train your brain. You know, because that other stuff you're thinking isn't true either. So if we make up stuff, that just helps it to basically like fix your brain. So that's not just like making all these crazy comparisons.
Yeah. And, you know, I like what you say about training your brain, because I know at least in my personal development, you know, I used to have all sorts of different limiting beliefs and crazy thoughts in my head when it came to dating and, you know, am I good enough for this girl? Is she out of my league? You know, if I saw a girl that I did feel was out of my league, then I'd make up all these reasons why I couldn't have her. And then the anxiety would come up and my conversation skills would diminish. And it was kind of like I went into this fight or flight sort of mentality, and you actually get stupid, you know.
I think you really do. Yeah.
Yeah. There's scientific data that says, you know, when you go into that reptilian, you know, sort of brain fight or flight mode, like all of the blood rushes into your extremity so you can fight or run. And there goes, you know, there goes your ability to be charismatic and funny and witty and all that stuff.
Yeah. Higher brain function. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I love that. Just kind of, you know, it's a quick kind of, you're like kind of throwing a monkey wrench into your usual brain operation and you're taking it in a different direction. And I feel like it's a good exercise where you can just, you know, train yourself to do that. It sounds like exactly what you did.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny because we often assume that our thoughts are true just because they're our own thoughts. But we have like thousands of thoughts every day. And a lot of those are lies that we've been told since we were young, or things that we've learned from, I don't know, the media, you know. And so I think we believe our thoughts and those limiting beliefs and the stories we tell ourselves way too easily. So just challenging those things in a different way is really powerful.
Yeah, separating it like this is a thought, it's not the truth, it's just a thought. That's right. Thing, right? And just letting it pass and go, you know, dwelling on the good instead of the bad. I think that's a choice, right? You know, it's a choice. And I think I love like, you know, everything I've read so far about your work, because you're really saying like, you know, your thoughts are just, you know, have a thought, don't let a thought have you, or have an emotion, don't let an emotion have you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So another really great question from Joey. He says, what happens that makes small talk become a lasting connection? Often you can make small talk to someone, then you hit it off with them. How can you make that then become a friendship? If you have a romantic intentions, it's very distinct how you make that clear. But what if you want to be friends with a guy or girl? How do you make connections then?
Okay. So if I'm hearing correctly, the question is basically, you've had small talk with someone and then you hit it off and you connect. How do you turn that into a friendship, right? Is that how you're hearing it too?
Yes.
Robbie?
Okay,
uh-huh. Cool. All right. So first of all, you know, good job with connecting on the small talk. I think that's something that most people are really bad at. So kudos. So the next step, right, is how do you make that into an actual relationship and friendship? And the formula that I've broken it down to for like building a friendship is trust plus fun over time, right? Like we need all three of these components, trust and fun across the y-axis of time, right? So I've used this with a lot of people I've met. So every day on the train, I always talk to random people, and I've become friends with a lot of them. And, you know, I've been even invited into their homes and stuff. And that's because of all of these factors, right? So time, because I've talked to them, you know, over the span of a few weeks and months. And then trust, because of the, you know, the things that we've said, things we've shared in our conversations. And then fun, just, you know, the types of things that we connect over and like the jokes and stuff. So for you, right, like let's say you've just had a really good conversation with someone, that you need to focus on expanding that, right? So I think like the key thing for you really to do, I mean, it sounds like you're doing a good job, Joey, right, is to get their that person's contact information and just keep it going and keep in touch, right? Like expand that relationship over time, build more trust. And to build trust, you know, the main things you want to do is, you know, share your opinions and feelings with one another, get them to open up to you. And fun, you know, just hang out and do fun things together.
Right. Totally. I love that. I love that formula. It makes total sense.
Cool. Yeah. And if you have anything to add, I'd love to hear your thoughts too.
No, I think that's great.
Cool.
And then now Jay is asking a slightly, well, it's different, but he's saying he's good at small talk. And then he's asking a very demanding, give me the top three ways to take the connection from small talk to something
gosh,
deeper.
Jay, geez.
What are specifically your three top? Jay, relax.
How about a please or something,
yeah,
right?
Give me the top three ways to take the connection from small talk to something deeper. So basically he's asking, how do you make that transition, you know, from small talk to something more meaningful, you know, that triggers emotions, passions, that sort of stuff. Because I think that's where he gets stuck, is he just kind of, you know, he's in small talk for a while and then he kind of runs out of things to say, not really sure how to transition into, you know, real talk, I guess.
Okay, cool. And is this in the context of just like friendships, or is this
a dating question from him? Yeah.
Dating. Okay. Cause it's kind of different between the two.
Well, give us both. Cause that'd be great.
Okay, cool. So I'm not really a dating expert, but I do have thoughts. Right?
Okay.
I think
I'll chime in on that.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Let me know where you stand.
Okay.
Yeah. So, dating wise, I think, it is very important to be able to deepen it and go into hit those, the emotions. And there's this like unspoken language, right, of attraction. And so you need to show women that you get it, right? And a lot of that has to do with emotions, right? So I think like you're on the right track, because you're trying to figure out, how do I get to that level, right? And so I think some of the things that the pickup artists and a lot of those like mainstream guys teach is like, I think a lot of it is misused and abused, right? Like nagging.
Totally. Yeah.
All that stuff. Right. But I think the principles behind those are very good. Right. Which is the like teasing, right. That's a big thing among the pickup artists in the world. Right. I think that teasing is a good way when done right, to like get a woman to open up emotionally, and to communicate to her that you're emotionally intelligent, and that, you know, you get it, right? Like you understand her emotional side, right?
Yeah.
And then in terms of like how to actually do that, like how do you move from that small talk to the deeper stuff? I think there's a couple questions I think that are pretty good. I like to ask girls, right, like, what's the worst date that you've ever been on, right? Like, I think this is a really, really good question, because it's a fun topic, and it gets them to talk about things that they like and they don't like about guys. And it's like, just by asking this question, you show that you you're like indirectly communicating that you're different than these other guys, right. These terrible dates. Right. And so like asking like those kind of questions where you're asking about like their dating experiences, what kind of thing, like what kind of guys they like. Actually that question kind of backfires on me sometimes. Like it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
What kind of guys I enjoy asking it anyways. I ask it all the time. I'm like, so what kind of guys are you into? Right. And like 50% of the girls get creeped out.
Totally. Right.
It's fun to ask. And then, something else I like to do, this goes along the lines of teasing, but it's like you ask them what their big pet peeves are, and then you go ahead and you like do their pet peeve. And it's like, it's really funny. You know, it's just like, yeah, like, so connecting with women, I feel like is just like, is a little bit trickier because there's that aspect of attraction that's built into there. Right. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. What do you,
I let you kind of nailed it with the, you have that underlying sexual tension happening, you know, when you're talking to a woman, and that's kind of running in the background the whole time, just based on the fact that you're a man and she's a woman. Right. And so, you know, that can make it a little bit more uncomfortable because there are those thoughts like, ooh, where is this going? And kind of puts you in your head, makes you anxious because you're thinking about the future, possibly having sex with her or a relationship. Who knows where your mind is going, right? When you're just talking to a dude or another guy, you're just like, in the moment, you're talking about whatever you want to talk about. You find a commonality. You both played hockey. You're both from Michigan. And it's like all of a sudden you're best friends, right? And you're just talking about like the good old days back pond hockey in Michigan, right? And you like, you feel like you're sharing stuff from your childhood. It's just kind of happening naturally because you don't have that pressure to get it right. You know, you're not you know, you're not thinking with your dick, for lack of better words.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? Yeah. Right? It's just some dude.
And that's the attitude that you should have. You know, if you can take that same attitude that you have for friendships into your dating, where rather than trying to make a connection or trying to like go deep with someone, you just kind of have fun and entertain yourself. It can really help because you take the pressure off and you just naturally start talking about things that you're passionate about, that you're emitting emotion from, and she's going to follow suit. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're talking about, you know, if you're talking about something passionately, it's probably interesting. If you're trying to talk about something that you're not interested in and you're trying to be passionate about, you're just going to sound like a phony. It's going to come across awful.
Yeah, I love that because that's my philosophy too, where, you know, you should treat everyone the same, right? Like, so I think it's a really, really good mindset to have that when you're talking to a beautiful woman, that you should be treating them just like everybody else. You should treat them like a bro.
Yeah.
Right? Like call them out on stuff. If they do something that's inappropriate, you're like, that's messed up. Or they do something gross, you're like, yo, that's really disgusting. Right. So like, and the reason is because like they are like everybody else. And you're never going to attract beautiful women if you treat them differently, right? Because beautiful women, they're not attracted to men who treat them like they're beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? They just want to feel like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. And once you start to treat them like they're special or ask for their permission or things like that, it kills that
sexual tension. Every other dude who's failed with them in the past, you get kind of, you know, swept into that category of every other guy that she's not going to hook up with.
Yeah.
But if you can be different, if you're just, you know, doing you, having fun, you'll naturally tease them. You'll naturally just kind of do your own thing. And one thing I say too is like, you're not going to connect with every woman just because she's hot and you want to bang her. It doesn't mean you're going to connect. You know, she might have different worldviews, thoughts, beliefs, and those are going to clash, or you're just going to have no interest in like what she's about and just be on totally different wavelengths. And that's okay. You know, that's not someone you'd want to be with anyways. And, you know, hey, just because she's hot, you know, maybe, you know, whatever, like it doesn't mean you have to try and make it work. Cause I see guys, you know, they try to force every conversation with a hot girl, and that's just such a bad mentality. They're just setting themselves up for rejection, and then when they do get rejected, then they start thinking that there's something wrong with them. That kills the confidence, and then you got this vicious circle happening.
Yeah, totally.
So, did that kind of cover? Was there anything you wanted to say about the friends thing, or did we cover that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So with friends, it's a little bit more straightforward, I think. And the basic phases that a normal conversation goes through is broken down into four. And so the way I explain it is there's phase one is cliches. So that's going to be stuff like, hey, how's it going? What's hanging? Hey, it's really nice out today. So stuff that's just like, that you hear like a million times a day, right? And then the next phase is facts. And this is going to be just an exchange of information. This could be the news, you know, the game last night, what they did this weekend, just like informational stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily like very personal. And then phase three is going to be opinions. And that's going to be, this is where the magic really happens when you move from facts to opinions. Like this is where the connection is going to happen, right? So, and opinions is really, you know, what do they like? What do they don't like? What do they prefer? And then the final phase is feelings, right? And this is going to be things that excite them, that scare them, make them happy, make them sad. And so in every conversation, when you're starting with small talk, you want to make sure that you're progressing through these four phases, right? So cliches, facts, opinions, and then feelings. And so as you do this, you're building a connection and you're deepening that relationship.
That's awesome. I love that framework because it's so easy and that totally nails it, you know, because that's what happened. Hey, how's it going? How's the weather? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Did you go to the game? Yeah, I saw the Yankees won. Like, what do you think? Fuck the Yankees. I hate them. They suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck baseball, actually. Fuck sports. I'm a writer and no one understands me, right?
Dude, that was amazing. Did you just have a full conversation by yourself? That was amazing.
I'm pretty good at that. But that's kind of like, you know, that's how conversations go, especially at bars. And if you can kind of run through that fast, because I feel like guys really get stuck on the facts, you know, or, well, I mean, depending on where they're at, like the worst guys, when girls are like, oh my God, that guy was so painfully boring, he'll just be like, so do you come here often? Well, you know, what do you think of the weather out here, right? And they, it's like,
yeah,
they tease them because all they have is the cliches. And then other guys will get stuck on the facts and they'll throw like interview mode questions, you know, 30 in a row. Where are you from? What's your major? What do you do? Where'd you go to school? You know, where are your parents from? And it's just be like girl fielding questions until she's like, all right, leave me alone. And, you know, this goes both ways too. We have a friend and she is so annoying to talk to because all she does is talk about facts about the USSR turning to Russia. And we're just like, no one gives any fucks.
Seriously, right?
Well, I'll be partying, drinking, and all of a sudden she'd be like, oh yeah, when the borders of Ukraine, you know, like, what does that have to do with anything?
And I've been, like someone put her in the basement or something.
Oh yeah, so she's kind of, you know, the annoying one in the group as of now, so she's the butt of a lot of jokes. But
that's funny.
But yeah, so I feel like I need to send her this this thing. I'd be like, you're getting stuck in the facts. We want to hear more opinions and feelings. But yeah, I love this framework because it really kind of it can show you where you're getting caught up.
Yeah, it's like it's very simple too. It's like easy to remember and you can, like you said, you can just fly through these phases really quickly without even really thinking about it. And it's important too. One other thing is that you need to make sure that you do go through the phases. That's really important.
I was just going
to
say that.
You don't just like skip to the end, right? Like you have to build that rapport, right? Like, yeah, I know it's really painful and people hate it, but you'd have to talk about the weather with people. Like, I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you hate it. It's just what happens and you got to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Because this is just what, that's just like, that's the phase, right? That's just what happens there.
Well, if you skip this step,
you just move on. Yeah. Right? You just keep going.
If you skip it and you're like, hey Dan, nice to meet you. How's the weather? Oh, by the way, when I was four, my mom, you know, she just didn't treat me very well. And I had a really rough childhood. You're going to be like, who the fuck are you? Like,
yeah. You know, it's funny. Like I used to do that with people, right? I like really cared about people genuinely. Right. And so I would go up to acquaintances that I didn't really know very well. And I would go up to them and be like, hey, Charlie, how you doing, man? And then he'd be like, I'm all right. Cool. You know, I'm good. But then I'd be like, no, really, how are you doing? Right. And then he'd be like, what? And just like, and just get all freaked out. Right. Because
you can't
just like jump straight into that deep stuff.
Yeah. It's just like, it doesn't follow that natural progression and it can feel really intrusive, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the word, intrusive.
Yeah. And then you just look awkward and creepy and, yeah. And I'm certainly, you know, I was guilty of that too. Cause you know, I heard some bad pickup advice way back in the day and they're like, focus on emotions, you know, So I'm like, okay. So I'd go, I'd be like, yeah, you know, what do you think of LA? And they'd be like, yeah, it's cool. And I'd be like, yeah, you know, I feel like people in LA, they're just, they're really shallow. And there, it's like, you know, we skipped the facts part. We went straight to opinions, right? And if you skip the facts part, they're just like, well, that's kind of rude. You know, what's wrong with you? You're pretty judgy.
Yeah, like, who are you?
Yeah,
right.
You know, unless, yeah. But if we had a conversation about LA and like, yeah, LA's cool. What's, which part of town are you from? Oh, yeah, I'm from here. I mean, from there, blah, blah, blah. What, you know, where are you from originally? Oh, I'm from Detroit. Oh, yeah, people are so like open and kind of like down to earth in Detroit. LA is tough. You know, people are more guarded. Everyone's trying to be cool and hot and be the next biggest thing. Then I don't sound like an asshole if I'm going into my opinion about how everyone's shallow in LA because I've got some facts to back it up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And just one other thing about these phases as we go through, right? Once you get to those opinions and feelings phases, there's basically like three things that cycle over and over again in a conversation. So this is, once you hit that stage, this is what you have to do. This is all you can do over and over, right? So you just can basically, step one, uncover their opinion or feeling, and then step two, affirm it. And then step three, share yours, right? And then that's it, right? So someone's like, someone's talking to you about how they don't like LA, right? You basically, anything that they share, you need to let someone know that you understand them and that you hear them, right? So even if you don't agree, you're like, oh yeah, you know what? That's so interesting. I never thought of it that way. Or
I can see how you feel that way.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, I see what you mean. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, so you just like affirm them. And then after that, you share your opinion and make sure that they get to know you a little bit more. Right. So you're like, you know, but I think that LA is, yeah, I can see what you're saying. And, but for me, I haven't really experienced that. Blah, 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 blah. Right. And so, it's this cycle back and forth where you get them to talk about themselves. You affirm it, and then you relate with your own. It's just like over and over. That's all you do. That's basically what a conversation is.
I love that. I love these models. They're so helpful because the conversations are so tough. I'm a geek with this stuff. I love like models and flow charts and shit like that.
Yeah, man. I saw the flow chart on your homepage after the quiz.
Oh, right. Yeah, the all the different stages kind of guys get stuck in or they go through.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that too.
Because it's so tough because, you know, you're taking such an abstract thing like a conversation. Right. And not a lot of people have kind of reverse engineered it and broken down. Pickup artists have, but they've done it in a way that they're just trying to get to a certain outcome. And that's horrible because anytime you're forcing an outcome, you're just probably going to end up with the outcome you don't want. Right.
Yeah.
Because people are going to feel used and conned. But, you know, when you can simply kind of zoom out and see it for what it is and, you know, see these stages. And when you know where you're at, you kind of have a roadmap for where to go. And that's really helpful for someone like me because that's how my brain works anyways.
Yeah, same here, right? Like, once you understand like the basic structure of something, it helps to know like, you know, like you said, where you stand. And also it helps you to realize like instances where it's not your fault, but it's just that the other person is not doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can kind of remove the blame. You don't walk away feeling all negative because a lot of the time that happens, right? You're talking to a girl and you're starting with the cliches and she just like launches into her feelings and you're like, crazy alert, psycho, you know,
yeah.
Red flag.
Yep, yep.
or
if you're sharing about your opinions and the other person's not affirming you at all and letting you know that they're listening to you, then you're like, all right, dude, this person is terrible at listening. So
yeah.
I'm just not going to, right? So it helps to just understand how it's supposed to work.
Definitely. Do you have any more of these kind of, I don't know what we should call them, flow charts or breakdowns.
Frameworks.
Frameworks, yeah. Do you have them for other stuff?
Let me think. Those are like the biggest ones that I really teach. I think I basically told you all of them, right? So there's like the trust, fun, over time, the cliches, facts, opinions, feelings. The three steps to, you know, that you cycle over and over. I might have another one, but I... For conversations, this is like, these are the most like fundamental things that like, that we need to know.
Got it. Yeah. These are awesome.
Yeah.
I love these. Cool. Let me, first of all, anything else that you're like dying to talk about before we open up to questions?
Let me see. I think, I mean, the final thought is just with conversations and small talk, which is what, you know, I'm focusing on right now, is that people think that conversations are like exchanging information, but most of the time when people walk away from them, they don't even remember what you talked about, right? And so, like, a big shift for us is that conversations are mostly purely a social function, right? It's not an informational thing, it's a bonding thing, right? So it's very, very freeing to know that what you say, the topics, the words you say, aren't really even that important. It's more about the energy you bring, the bonding that's happening. So kind of like how you were like on your website, I love how you talk about how we should approach, I was just reading it before our call, like how you should approach conversations as a dog or something like that, right?
Oh yeah. Wait, what was
like, oh, you're relating it to dogs.
That's right, because like, dogs have no agenda. They're just like, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, they're, you know, if they're friendly because their tail's wagging and they're smiling, right? They're panting, and you know if they're not because they're growling at you, right? There's, you don't have to be worried about what the dog's thinking about you because he's showing you right there. But humans, we can mask how we feel. We're really good at that.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Everyone loves dogs, basically, because it's like, you don't have to worry like how they're going to judge you. It's like the dog doesn't give a fuck. The dog's just there to be the dog, right? And so you don't get this anxiety. That's why people can just walk up to a dog and just start rubbing its belly, right? Because it's like, oh, this person's warm. I know they're going to keep being warm if I just go over and pet them. But, you know, so that was that.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so yeah, it's funny because I teach people that small talk is like butt sniffing. For dog, like for humans, right?
That.
So just like how, you know, dogs, like you said, they're friendly, they're social, and so with conversations and small talk, we have to think about it, the fact that we are kind of like dogs. We're like getting to know each other by smelling each other and like figuring out whether the other person's safe, like what their deal is. So so conversations are about bonding, getting to know the other person, and it's not so much about the information or the words that you're using. So I think having that understanding really, really frees a lot of the anxiety that people have.
Yeah, because then you stop worrying about what to say, which is
exactly
kind of how we started the call with, you know, what if I run out of things to say? Well, big deal.
Right? <Yeah.
laughs> go through the cliches, facts, opinions, feelings thing, and you know, that's great. I think that'll give guys a lot of freedom in their conversations.
Awesome. Cool. And I'm actually working on a new course. I think I'm going to call it Speak Freely, How to Have Confidence Conversations or something like that, where basically I address this issue head on of, you know, like, I don't know what to say, my mind blanks and stuff. So I think this is something that a lot of people really need to learn. So I'm going to put together this mini course, probably like 11 or 12 videos just to help people overcome this.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, how do people find out about, you know, how do they follow you? How do they find out about the course and other stuff you offer?
Yeah, so the first thing that they should do is go to thefriendformula.com, and there you can sign up for my mini course. You'll get a bunch of free videos, and you'll get all my future emails as well. And that's probably the best way to keep in touch with me. You can email me back anytime. I read and respond to everything. And you can also follow me on Facebook, just facebook.com/thefriendformula. And that's where I post like updates and silly things and motivational stuff. So I'm working, I have a course on meaningful small talk right now, how to take mundane small talk and build connections with people through meaningful conversation. And then the next thing I want to work on is helping people to stop freezing up and always know what to say next. And yeah, that's probably gonna be called Speak Freely or something like that.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Thanks so much, Dan. I really enjoyed talking to you and going over all this stuff, and I'm sure I'll bug you for for some more talk, because I think our brains work very similar.
Yeah, dude, I really enjoyed this. And this was, I really appreciate you inviting me out and having me as a guest. This was really fun.
Yeah, man, no worries. And thanks so much. I'm sure the guys all got a ton out of it. And we'll be in touch. Thanks for being on. And thanks for all the listeners, guys. Take care.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya.